glad to see those here this evening. I'd like for us to think about a passage that's found from the book of Jeremiah. Of course, Jeremiah being a prophet of God, and of course he no doubt had a lot of difficulties in that of getting people to listen to him. But yet he continued to teach, to proclaim the word of God. Although he was persecuted by his own people because they did not want to accept. And even today we find that many times we too are being ridiculed or maybe looked down upon or sometimes not even spoken to because we stand for what the Bible teaches. Now, of course, in Jeremiah's day, some things were different because God directly gave it to those prophets. And they proclaimed that word that he gave them. And if a prophet did not proclaim that word or proclaim something that was false, then certainly that prophet would be put to death. But I would like for us in that of looking to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, we find here that Jeremiah said, "The words that I found, I ate them. And the words was a joy and rejoicing on mine heart." Why? He says, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Your word I found and I ate it. John, similar to that in Revelation, he said that when he took it and he ate it, and you know, sweet like honey, but when it hit his stomach, it got bitter. But that was talking about some things in which that was going to occur or take place. But here we find, and maybe if we would entitle the lesson, we would place a title, "Why Bible Study is Important." Now here we find a prophet in which that says that I found your word and I ate it. In other words, he consumed whatever God gave him. And you know, we too as God's people need to be willing and we need to have a desire. I know 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talked about the fact that as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word. But I don't believe that Peter was particularly talking about people who had just become Christians. But he said, you desire the word just as a newborn baby would desire milk or something in order to eat. So there has to be that desire. There has to be that willingness for us to want to learn before we will learn. Oh, I know sometimes it is that, you know, maybe within the schools, maybe not as it was years ago, but when a teacher told you to learn something, you knew to learn it, because if not, there was going to be consequences. But when God tells us to learn something, we need to say, well, I'm going to learn it because I know what the consequences are going to be if I don't. Because we will suffer the consequences if we don't do what God says. And he says, your word was joy and rejoicing of my heart. In other words, I wanted to hear what you had to say. But the people that were surrounding him, they didn't want to hear it. But you know, we too sometimes get discouraged, do we not? You make efforts. You make tries. You try to help people. You try to get them to understand. You try to get them to listen to what God has to say. And sometimes it just doesn't work. They don't want to hear it. But when we think about Jeremiah, we find that his desire was that he wanted to know, and he was glad to know what God had to say. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, of these things put in remembrance, and here in putting them in remembrance to want to listen, want to hear what God has to say. But in verse 15 he said, you study to show yourself approved unto God. And he condemned their striving about words of no profit. And so he says, you study to show yourself approved unto God. Now that study is not only learning something, but it's also doing something. You learn and you do what you learn. We could have all kinds of education on many different things, but if we never put it in use, we would not be experienced at it. You can learn all the rules of baseball, but until you get out there on the field and start playing it, you're not going to know too much about it. You may think you do, because you can see how it works on TV or maybe other ways, or read a book and learn the rules and things of that nature. But until you're out there hitting at the ball or golfing or whatever it may be, until you get out there and put it to use or practice it, you're not likely to have as much experience at it as you may knowledge. So it's good to learn what God says and then do what God says. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Now that was to Timothy. Paul wrote that letter to Timothy. He wrote that letter to an individual. And if Paul, if he was back, if we were back there during his time, he could say, now, Paul, servant of God, an apostle, and writing to you, and then fill in your name. Because what he wrote to Timothy is profitable for us. And so as individuals, we have a responsibility to study the Word of God and rightly divide it, that we may not be a workman in rightly dividing the Word of God. Show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And we have that responsibility. Jesus said in John 5:39, you need to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He said, but you won't come to me that you may have life. They very well knew what the prophecies. They could read them. But did they believe them? Jesus gave them all kinds of signs when he came that he was that true Messiah. And they even listened to a preacher who proclaimed that this is the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. But they didn't want to believe. They had the evidence. They had the readings of the Old Testament prophecies. But they didn't want to accept it. And Jesus said, you won't come to me that you may have life. Again, we learn from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. In this, Paul, first earlier in the chapter, in verse 12, he tells Timothy, he says, you be an example of the believers. In word, conversation, charity, things like that. But he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. How long, Paul? Till I come. Does that mean that Timothy stops studying after Paul gets there? No. But he's telling him, you prepare yourself. I'm coming to where you are. Till I come, you give attendance to reading, teaching. You give attendance to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by the presbytery, by the laying on of the hands. Meditate upon these things. Yield thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, again, Timothy not only had a responsibility to read and study, but he also had a responsibility to exhort and had the responsibility to take heed to himself. Continue in these things. In doing this, he would not only save himself, but those that would hear him. So, Paul gave him instructions that he needed to study. In Isaiah 34:16, he said, to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We have the responsibility. Well, someone said, well, that's what I got my preacher for. He tells me what I need to know. Well, that's, to me, is why there's so many different religious groups today. Because too many have went the way of the preacher. And that's not the way that to go. Because although they may be preachers, they may not be God's preacher. May not be God's preacher. And by the looks of it and the things in which that they teach compared to what God said, they are not God's preacher. They're not God's preacher. Because when someone preaches something that you cannot find in the Bible, where did it come from? Since there's no new revelation, where could it have come from? Could not have come from God. Had to come from somewhere else. The false prophets of old spoke imaginations out of their own hearts. And people are all the time coming up with new ideas, new tactics, new ways, because that's how the devil works. In getting people to follow in that area of thinking. And so we must study the Word of God. Acts 17:11, he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. How often did they search the Scriptures? Said they did it daily. Why did they do that? To see whether or not the things they were being taught was so. Now, if Paul encouraged those to read after him, if the other disciples, apostles, encouraged to read after them, why makes us think today we don't have to read after those who are preaching? When you turn on your TV, when you turn on your radio, there's a preacher on there. Well, okay, he speaks things in which that I like to hear. And so I continue listening at that. And when I listen at that, then before you know it, I forget about my Bible. And so I just listen to what he has to say or she has to say. And that's the way I want to travel. That's the way I want to go, because it's soothing to my ears. It tells me, or they tell me, things in which that I personally want to hear. But if it's not the truth, we're going to be in danger. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, if you're going to be happy, you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, what is the righteousness of God? Well, in Psalm 119:172, it says, all thy commandments are righteousness. And so when we look at that, we realize that the reason and the need for us to look after God's Word and be happy and let the Word of God fill our minds, fill our hearts, because we're hungry and we're thirsting after that. In Psalm 119:11, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Have you ever really stopped to think about what the writer there said? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Now Luke 8 and verse 11 says the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. That's what Jesus said. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And this is where those who are once believed the idea of once saved, always saved, they take verses like this and they try to say, well, I've been born again, and so therefore I'm eternally saved. I don't have to worry about anything. Because 1 John 3, 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. But is John really saying that it is impossible for a child of God to fall from grace? No. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That is, if you're born of God, you don't willfully go out there committing sin. And his seed remains in you, and you cannot sin. As long as we've got the word of God directing us, as long as God's word is directing us in the path we're going, we will not sin. As long as that word is directing us. Because as long as we're following God, doing everything that God tells us to do, we won't sin. Because if you stop and think about it, as long as God's word's in my mind telling me thou shalt not steal, as long as it's there and it's a controlling me, you don't have to worry about your money laying around because I won't steal it. Does it mean I can't steal it? No, but it means I won't steal it because God's word is there telling me don't do that. Don't do that. As long as you're following the word of God, you won't be doing that. Jesus used the word of God to defeat the devil. Now, Bible study would be important for us to learn what God has for us to do. How that we can combat with the world. How we can fight with the enemy. Now, if we're not equipped to do that, it's likely that we'll be brought down. Remember what Ephesians chapter 6 says? The word of God is a sword of the Spirit. Now, I may go and buy an expensive, just as expensive sword that ever was, that money could buy. But if I don't know how to use that sword, someone could go down to a place where they make those things and just pick up an old cheap one. And he could defeat me just like that. Because he's experienced, he knows how to use it. He studied that. And that's why we need to know how to use the Word of God. And if we don't know how to use the Word of God, we may cut our own self. What I mean by that is we allow someone to entrap us or getting us to believe some things or seeing some things in which that God did not want us to see. That it was not God's way. Some people in the sense of talking about baptism, and sometimes I look at different Bibles that sometimes you see on the shelves of places, doctors' stores or places like that. And they have their comments within them. And as you look at that and you go and you look at what the Bible says, like in Acts 2:38, to be baptized for the remission of sins. But in that comments that they make, all the scriptures read out right there, it's just as plain as it can be. But the comments in which that they make on that particular verse, like one of them said, well, this may be Holy Spirit baptism. Or maybe for the sense, well, the four is not really in order, but it means because of the remission of sin. In other words, you're baptized because you've already received remission of sins. That's far different than what the Bible teaches, you see. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. Now, did Jesus die because people were already forgiven? No. But he died in order, yes, in order for people to be saved. That's why he died, that they could have remission of sins. And so, when we find Jesus in the sense of Matthew 4 after his baptism, and usually that's when the devil starts working on us. It's after that we have been baptized into Christ. Now, I don't say he don't work on us before, because the devil will do everything possible within his power to keep you from obeying what the truth is. He'll make every effort to hinder you from studying with someone who is trying to tell you the truth. Make every effort to do that. He may even cause others to come into your life. Say, well now, whoa, what they're saying is not really, that's not really right. Because yours, what? And then they go with their ideas. But they never give you what thus saith the Lord about it. They tell you their ideas. I believe this or I believe that. But after his temptation, after his baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he was there for 40 days. Afterward, he was hungry. And you get hungry too if you're there 40 days without anything to eat. I know I would. The devil comes to him. If you're a son of God, command that these stones be made bread. God never performed a miracle for his own selfishness. No, not for his own selfishness. So Jesus was not going to turn that stone into bread in order that he could eat. That wasn't the purpose of it. But neither was he going to yield to the temptation of the devil. Because Jesus said, it is written. What? It is written. Where did he get that from? He knew the scriptures. He knew what the Bible taught. And you see, that's why it's important for us to study the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to assemble in a Bible study, for instance. But in an assembly such as this, it's not the only place you can study the Bible. You can study the Bible at home. But when we come together in an assembly such as this and study the Word of God, we have an opportunity, like in 2 Timothy 2, where it says study to apply not only our mind but our body, encouraging one another in study of God's Word. We have that opportunity. But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it continued on down. And then finally in verse 11, after all the attempts that the devil made, it says that the devil left him. And angels came and ministered unto him. Left him for a season. In other words, the devil didn't give up. He just left him for a little while. Then he went right back at it again. But angels came and ministered unto him. If we want God's assistance, we need to keep in God's way. And through that means, the Lord will help us overcome temptation. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you poorly. Now, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms and hymns. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Sometimes I believe that maybe we feel like we get overriched with what God says, with his word. In other words, we get too much cream in our coffee. But when we think about it, in Ephesians 5, Paul said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Not only did he say that, but he also tells us in Ephesians 5 that we are, in verse 17, not to be unwise. Now, how can we not be unwise? Well, you go back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus says, the wise man heard his word and did it. And he said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Well, we have it right here. We have access to it. We got his will right here. All we do need to do is read it. See what's in the will. That's with an exception, maybe the providential will. And we may not understand everything about that, but I know it. I know it's real. But we find that Jesus, of course, confronted the devil with the word of God. Paul says that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And there's a need for that, because in 2 John verse 9, John said, whosoever would transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. What is the doctrine of Christ? Well, Paul in Romans chapter 6 referred to it as being the gospel. You have obeyed from the heart that form or that pattern of teaching. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said it was the gospel that he preached first. And that's what they built their lives upon. That's what they obeyed. And so the gospel of Christ is what saves us. But whosoever would transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You see, during those days and times when preachers came into the area, they usually stayed with someone. Like he talks about there in John. And like Jesus said, you know, you go and don't take no money in your script, but whatever city you enter, find a house and there stay. And so he says, if someone comes to you and don't bring the doctrine of Christ, in other words, don't keep him. You don't keep him and let him spread his false ideas. And so John says there's a need, because we need to know what the doctrine of Christ is, lest that we would drift from it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 17. Paul talked about in verse 16. Some of the preaching Christ. In other words, to cause him trouble. Then in verse 17 he says, some preach it out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Could you defend what you did in becoming what you are? Could you defend that? It might be easy to tell someone what you did, but can you defend what you did? By saying, yes, this is what God said for me to do, and I did it. This is how God said to do it, and I did it. And when I did what God said that I was made right, was made righteous. So we need to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul said to Timothy that the church was a pillar in the ground of the truth. He says, till I come, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Now, what's he talking about? I know probably that word's not used too much anymore with children. You behave yourself. Probably not used too much anymore. It's more like, well, you go ahead and do what you want to do. But Paul said, they know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, knowing how to conduct ourselves. Now, if we don't know much about the Word of God, we won't know very much how to be clothed, would we? Or what to do. To behave yourself in a house of God. That's not talking about this building, but that's talking about the temple of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a part of that family. And we should know how to conduct ourselves as Christians. Remember what Jeremiah said, I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. We have taken upon us a name that's above every name here on this earth. We took upon Christ's name. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. This was after they had obeyed the gospel. He said they continued, you see. Not dipped, dried, and done, but they continued in what the Lord said for them to do. They continued what the apostles taught. You see, we can obey the truth and get into error, but you cannot obey error and get into the truth. You can obey the truth and go in the wrong direction. Become involved with something that's not really scriptural. But you sure cannot obey error and get into truth. It's not possible. You cannot obey a lie and be in the truth. And that's why we need to continue what the apostles taught. Not what someone tells us, but what the apostles taught. What the Bible teaches for us to do. Oh, you can all find all kinds of different ideas out there in the religious world on what to do when you come together in an assembly. There's a lot of them can tell you a lot of things, what to do and what sometimes what not to do, but a lot of times it's just left to whatever you want to do. And it's not like that when it comes to the Word of God. What we do is important. How we do that is important. The way we do it is important. And that's why studying the scriptures is important. That we can know what we're doing is what we are supposed to be doing. At the word of Christ. Ephesians 5:2 says that we are to walk, verse 1, follow God, be followers of God. And then verse 2, be walk in the love of Christ. Christ loved us so much that he did the Father's will, although he didn't want to go through with that awful death. But he presented himself as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's how much Christ loved us. That's how much he walked in God's love. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. In other words, his commandments are not something that you can't keep or can't do. It's God's love tells us what we need to do in order to save ourselves. Now, if you see someone drowning out there in the waters and you're in a boat and you throw them a life jacket. Does that mean you hate that person? Or you have a desire for them to be saved? You have a love, a concern for that person. Doesn't mean you hate them. It means you've got a concern. You want that person to be saved. You don't want that person to be drowned. That's God's love. God's love has given us a message, but sometimes people will tell you, well, you know what you're saying? You're running people away from God rather than toward God by telling them they have to obey this or obey that. But you see, that's God's love. He's telling us what we need to do. And we're to walk in that love and by doing so, we'll know that will. Because Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord. But who's going to go to heaven, Jesus? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Why should we do his will? Because I did. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that through this will, we can have salvation. It is God's will that we are to follow. Jude verse 21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. You see, the responsibility is not someone else's. The responsibility is not God's. The responsibility is not Jesus's. The responsibility is not the Holy Spirit's. The responsibility is you. You're the one that's commanded to keep yourself in the love of God. You're commanded to do that. And if you don't know anything about the love of God, it's kind of hard to stay in it. Jesus taught that in John 6:38. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said. Now, there's people out there say, yes, I believe in Jesus. You might believe that Jesus exists. You might believe that he came here and he lived and he died and he was buried and he raised. You might believe all of that. But do you believe on him as the scripture has said? Jesus said, he that believeth on me as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, but this speak he of the Holy Ghost, for it has not yet been given unto them, because he had not yet been glorified. And this is the verse I want you to keep in mind, because I do believe it's critical in sometimes in some studies. If you read in Matthew chapter 10, the ones in which that Jesus selected to be his apostles, he sent them out on a mission. He said, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cast out devils. And what he told them to do? You believe they did that? I believe that they made every effort possible to fulfill what the Lord told them to do. But now in John 6, in verse 39, he says, this spake he of the Holy Spirit. This spake he of the Spirit which they that believe should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, the disciples had power before the day of Pentecost. On that mission, heal the sick, cleanse the leprosy, raise the dead, cast out devils. Why would Jesus tell them to do something they couldn't do? Has Jesus ever told us to do something we can't do? I do believe that everything that Jesus has told us to do, we can do it. I don't believe he is a person in which that would hold us accountable in the day of judgment for something we could not do that he told us to do. But when we find in studying of the scriptures, it is important for us to know what God says. It's important. When we fill our minds, like Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, think on these things. And he lists a variety of different things. Think on them things. In Psalm chapter 1, in his law, he said, doth I meditate day and night. We need to study. We need to know what God says. It's much easier to listen than it is to study for yourself. But all you got to do is just listen and hear. It's good to listen to those who are rightly dividing the Word of God, because we can learn from that. But we need to put our own minds into thinking and reading and studying. But if you're not a Christian, you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, because it can make you something that you've never been before. Wouldn't you like to try out something new? Get into the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him save you from your sins. He'll make you whole. He'll make you free from the bondage of sin. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Submit to Him in baptism for the remission of sins if you're willing to repent. While together we stand, sing a song, select.